Good morning. Shalom. It is very nice to be here. It's much better than being on your back. So, and I'm, thanks to God, feeling wonderful. And the good news is that the exhortation will be very short because of my lack of knowledge and other things. The sixth chapter of Luke, and my apologies if I said the fifth, Jim, but the sixth chapter of Luke is essentially Luke's presentation of what we call the Beatitudes. I say Luke's presentation because it's always been a question, and I think a valid one, is whether all of chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew were spoken on one occasion. It may have been over a number of weeks, and it may have been a movable feast because some of this information is essential to being an apostle and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at any rate, Luke's account gives an abbreviated account, if you will, of what we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. It also contains the selection of the 12 and the commission of the 12. And it also contains the Old Testament echo of blessings and curses, or in this case, blessings and woes, as Luke presents them. Whereas Matthew retains the woes for that final clash with the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the end of just before his crucifixion. The subject of forgiveness has intrigued me for years and still continues. And alongside of that, and I won't do much speaking about judging, but it's always intrigued me as how suddenly we become qualified to be judges. And yet, I think the scriptures make it clear that's part of the responsibility, certainly of the 12, but of each one of us as well. How do we suddenly become wiser, kinder, more thoughtful, insightful? And I have no answer to that, other than I know that it is important that we now put into practice the most important aspects of judging, and that is not condemning, listening, and being thoughtful, forgiving people. 1 John, in his letter, and you certainly don't have to turn it up, he says, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." Your sins have been forgiven. And it's always a little bit disappointing when we worry about our sins and we worry about going to judgment. And I used to hear some stories of, you know, just trembling and shaking and waiting all day to come up and tell about all their failures in life. And I would suggest, and I'm not doing this casually, that judgment isn't just not that way. We're not there to explain what happens at the end of the 1,000 years or to give a definition of the 28 statements which we affirm. We're not there to tell Jesus what everything is about. We're there to receive what we have done, whether good or bad. We are there to receive the reward. The word for forgiveness, both in the Old and New Testament, has to do with covering or casting away. And there are several words, and they are consistent. Casting away, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he taken our sins away from us. So when we say forgiveness, it is something of lasting duration. We have been forgiven. It doesn't mean we can't do stupid things. I do them daily, and some of you might also indict yourselves. Now, Luke 6 actually repeats what we call the model prayer And notice the difference in the 11th chapter, and you don't have to turn to this either, but you might listen. It's intriguing. It's found in the 11th chapter. This is 2 years later, in the vicinity of Jerusalem, and Jesus says, "Forgive us our sins, as we also forgave everyone who has sinned against us." So, you know, there's the bad news. Forgiveness is conditional only upon one thing. You know, you hear that in the ads for this particular medicine. If you suddenly become blind, contact your doctor. So the one condition is that we forgive. We are forgiven if we have forgiven others. It sounds a bit simplistic, and yet, as you know, it is a big think and a wonderful thought. So let me read that again. Father, hallowed be your name. It's an abbreviated model prayer. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. In Matthew 7, and you'd be very familiar with that, judge not that you be not judged. Now, I've judged art contests and stand guilty, but that's not what he's talking about. I don't like that. I don't like to come up with this is the blue ribbon, this is the red. That's a lot of nonsense, and I hope I recognize that. But when he says judge not that you be not judged, I think he's saying quite clearly that you won't be condemned if you don't condemn others. It is a profound thought and one worth thinking about. Judgment, as we've said, isn't something to fear. It's certainly not an interrogation of our entire lives. We will stand before the Lord. And as I've said before, and I hope I always remember this, make friends with the judge before you stand. It sounds flippant, but it's a very, I think, profound and wonderful concept. If we look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be terrified, but we will stand approved. I'd like to read a couple of passages, and you, again, don't have to turn these up, but it's from the second chapter, of John's first letter. He says a couple of things that are somewhat sweeping and I think important. Beginning in the second chapter at the 28th verse, he says, "And now, dear children, continue in him, that when he appears, we may be confident." Doesn't say terrified. When he appears, we may be confident. Not cocky, but confident. Unashamed before him at his coming. And again, if we love his appearing and look forward to it, we might feel very inadequate, but we can be confident that we will be approved. The second passage is actually found in the 4th chapter, and it continues somewhat the same theme. 13th verse of the first letter, 4th chapter. "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is the way love is complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we're like him." Again, confidence doesn't mean cockiness. It means awareness of who we are, what we have accomplished, our failures probably as well. But it is a confidence, a looking forward to his coming. Because we have forgiven others, we will be forgiven. In Colossians, Paul says, in fact, I will read that because I would really like to conclude with what I consider. It's funny how sometimes we consider the letters and we say, well, Colossians is pretty harsh. I absolutely love Colossians, and I'd like you to remember Paul has never been there. And yet from friends and close associates, he knows about the Colossians, and he writes what I consider one of the most beautiful letters to them. So third chapter and the 13th verse of the Paul's letter to the Colossians. Third chapter, 13th verse. Speaking of himself, he says, I press on to take hold of that which is Christ Jesus took hold, for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself as yet having taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've often told you before, so now I say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And then continuing at verse 23, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Very briefly then, we have forgiveness, but it is conditional upon our forgiving our brothers and sisters.